Gonna say I can hear it in your voice.
You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Today, this breakfast isn't just breakfast. It might be the first McDonald's breakfast you're having at McDonald's again. This lunch might be a weekly tradition you hadn't had in weeks. And this dinner might be the first one you bought for not just you in a while. Whatever this order is for you, McDonald's will be here to take it.
Get more of the chicken you love with a delicious McChicken sandwich for $1. And for an extra buck, add a refreshing Dr. Pepper. Dining rooms are starting to reopen in certain communities at participating McDonald's. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
In uncertain times, we could use someone to lean on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma will stand by you with plan options to fit your budget. If you've recently lost your job, had a baby, or moved, you can still get the health care coverage you and your family need. Financial help may be available for those who qualify. Call 855-452-BLUE or visit hereforyouok.com to see if you're eligible to enroll. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a Mutual Legal Reserve Company.
Not to be a backseat driver, but can you say for sure you got the best monthly payment possible on your auto loan? Could it be that you might have gotten a better deal by shopping the loan at a few places and have a lower car payment? Next time, before you go car shopping, visit Communication Federal Credit Union first. Our auto loan experts will find you a perfect loan and get you the lowest monthly payment we can. Communication Federal, your auto loan experts. Restrictions apply. Federally insured by NCUA.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
A new year means it's time for a new home network that can keep up. With Cox Internet, you have the speed and coverage your family needs to stay connected. You'll enjoy Cox's fiber-based hybrid network with options for fast upload and download speeds. And if your household has lots of connected devices, panoramic Wi-Fi may be the perfect fit thanks to its additional control features. Plus, with advanced security on panoramic Wi-Fi, you'll know each connected device is securely protected 24/7. A whole world of connectivity is yours with Cox Internet. Learn more at cox.com.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Absolutely. You know what we gotta do? Foga party.
Foga! Foga!
Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga!
Click! Click! Boom! I'm coming down on the stereo. Hit me on the radio. Click! Click! Boom!
I want you to kill every golfer on the course.
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're gonna lock me up and throw away the key.
Guess what day it is?
Guess what day it is, huh?
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the program. I am so sorry I missed hanging out with you guys this morning, but I had zero voice again. I even thought about trying to squeak through an hour before, but then I decided since I could barely talk and barely breathe, I went and hung out in a urgent care center for a while to try to make sure I wasn't dying. Turns out my condition's actually technically been upgraded. I've now gone from walking pneumonia to bronchitis. So, improvement, and at least it's not the vid. So anyway, they gave me a couple of steroid shots and a couple other things, and I'm still taking all the over-the-counter shit, and I have a rescue inhaler now. But I can breathe, and I don't quite sound so much like freaking Froggy from the Little Rascals. But while I've been going through all that, my Amish co-host has been owning people on Twitter.
Yeah. So the walking pneumonia took a walk?
So walking pneumonia took a long walk off a short pier, but it left its friend bronchitis behind. Which isn't surprising since I spend, 55 hours a week in front of some form of microphone. When you talk for a living, you get bronchitis a lot. I don't know why that is, but it is. And it sucks. Yeah, this is the usual time of year I'm fighting it anyway. I just managed to get walking pneumonia before my friend bronchitis decided to come stay for an extra week or so. Fun times.
Good times.
Yep, good times. Anyway, so yeah, we're gonna get through an R&W tonight. There will not be an off the rails because I could probably rant for about 2 seconds before I started sounding like Minnie Mouse. And
I can already hear it in your voice.
And I'm not giving Jeff that kind of ammunition. It's not gonna happen. He'll be like randomly posting sound bits of the shit on Twitter for like forever. This is when Rick tried to do a show and he was sick as hell. And like, here, look, we'll even put Minnie Mouse pictures with it. No, I'm just playing. Anyway, so, lots of stuff been going on in the news, though. Unfortunately, it's been so busy at work, I haven't really been able to keep up, which is probably good because from the third-hand information I've gotten about the cauliflower and cheese press conference today, I probably would have had an aneurysm.
Oh, I mean, just what I've seen about it. Well, I've been out most of the day, too. So why don't we just skip politics and talk about what we're watching on TV? No, but from what I've seen today, President Silverlurk was in rare form. Even to the point that the CNN focus groups that were watching it were like, no, he's coming off as old and absent. And Democrats are incompetent. Like, this is a CNN focus group doing this, not like... Yeah.
So yeah, not Luntz or anybody, that an actual CNN focus group.
Right. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. No, I mean, honestly, I had not had much of a chance to listen to anything yet. But the one thing I heard, and I heard this comment made by people more than once, and it was, "Hey, people go to the bathroom in lavatories, not laboratories, Mr. President." I'm like, I don't know what I just missed, but I'm kind of glad I missed it. Holy crap. But yeah, I mean, you know, his approval numbers continue to go through the floor. And I honestly, at this point, I'm surprised he has any numbers at all. I mean, a friend of mine that I used to work with that moved to Alabama. I'm sorry, she's in Georgia. She's from Alabama. Her husband got a promotion and got transferred to a different firehouse to take the promotion. So they moved to Georgia. Well, she sent him like pictures of like the meat case at their local supermarket. Ain't nothing in it.
Right.
Like today, like then. Part of the reason why I decided I was going to bail on the morning show is because I had a pickup scheduled for Walmart. Because I went through and picked out everything I needed last night and scheduled it for early enough to make sure that I wasn't going to be late for work. Because at that point I was still feeling somewhat decent and just figured I'd do the first hour and then bail and go get the stuff. Well, then I woke up when my alarm went off. I was like, yeah, nope, not doing it. So then I go through all the trouble to get to Walmart to get the pickup done. And the whole reason I scheduled and got the rest of the shit I needed was because if you don't order a certain amount, they charge you extra because you're below the minimum. And then I mainly did it because I didn't have any of my cold medicine anymore. They didn't tell me until after they were putting the shit in the car that they were out of stock on my cold medicine. So then feeling like shit, not dressed properly, I have to go to the grocery store that's like 4 miles down the road just to see what they have. Luckily managed to get stuff, and I was like, you know what? There's an urgent care right next door. So I called work and said, I'll be in a little bit. I'm going to urgent care. And then went and got shit jammed up my nose and made sure it wasn't the vid, because I've had other people that I know that are coming down with it. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe it is finally that this time. I mean, I'm still lucky enough to not have that. I honestly really got worried because last night when I was eating, I realized I couldn't taste anything. And I'm like, maybe I should go get a COVID test. Turns out my nose was just so packed full of crap that I couldn't taste anything. But anyway, so yeah. It's been an interesting couple of weeks. I've almost died twice. Yeah. So on top of fighting all this crap off, I'm trying to get back to doing full-time radio and don't have a voice to do it, so that's always fun.
No, that is.
Anyway.
But I did see a little bit of that today, and
I'm sorry.
Let's see. The big takeaway is him. Let's see. Biden claiming he wasn't attacking anyone publicly while defending his divisive speech in Georgia, where he called half of the Democratic voters in Georgia racist. And then now apparently he is and he's berating reporters and he's calling into question the next election. Reporter asked him, do you still believe in the upcoming election will be fairly conducted and the results will be legitimate? Biden's answer, it all depends on whether or not we're able to make the case to the American people that some of this is being set up to alter the outcome. I'm sorry, I was reasonably assured that's an insurrection thing. That's insurrection-y.
Definitely.
That is a threat to democracy.
Definitely has a hint of insurrection.
It does.
Just a hint.
Sounds coup-ish.
Yeah, I was going to
coup-ish.
I was going to say it's a little insurrection-y with a side of coup. Anyway, I don't know, man. I mean, the whole thing has just gone nuts. I mean, you've got all these people now that are screaming how the filibuster is racist and yada, yada, yada. I mean, is that their answer for everything anymore? As soon as they don't... Democrats
just used the filibuster last week.
I know, but it's racist when we try to do it.
Yes, everything is racist unless the Dems do it, and then it's just not reported.
Everything is racist. Oh, sorry. I don't have enough of a voice to be trying to sound like the Lego Movie dude.
No, I wouldn't attempt it with your voice right now.
I'm sorry. I wouldn't attempt it with my voice normally, but I tried anyway.
Yeah, I too like my coos flaming hot.
Flaming hot coos are one thing, but when your coup turns into a flaming hot, a flaming bag of dog shit on a porch that you're trying to stomp out, don't really work out real well. I don't know. The whole thing has just been a cluster. I mean, the dude can't even, I mean, he barely even answers questions. And then half the time you catch Peppermint Patty, well, depends on what kinds of questions you ask as to whether or not he's going to answer them. So, we have an approved questions list now? Is that what you're saying? Because that's not exactly very pro-democracy.
Well, now he's blaming Republicans for, his statement today is, I did not anticipate that there would be such a stalwart effort to make sure that the most important thing was that President Biden didn't get anything done. And I'm like, dude, your party controls the House and the Senate, too. Nobody's standing in your way except you.
You keep stepping on your own dick while you're trying to get shit done and blaming the Republicans. That's not anybody's fault but yours, bro. You control the whole thing right now. The problem is you guys keep wanting to ram shit down everybody's throats that nobody really wants, and then you want to know why nobody wants to do it. You know, the thing about it is they keep talking about, who was it, Manchin and the other one. Sinema. That are like, we're not doing this. You know why they're not doing it? Because they're going to get about 14, 15 favors from different senators that were up for election this year because they're not. They're like, we'll block it for you. You're just going to owe us something later.
I mean, not just that, but the one thing that, and I said this Monday night on FUBAR is that, okay, their job, your senator's job is to, and even because of the 17th Amendment, they have to placate their constituents, meaning the residents of their home state. They are not concerned of the opinions of some online piss baby from New York. They're worried about West Virginia and West Virginia voters. So, because Manchin and Sinema are in really purple states, that is job protection. not just quid pro quo, but pure job protection. Because they don't get to go back if they, you know, if you tell the residents of Arizona that, yeah, you know what, it was really important that I support this socialist bullshit, this bullshit agenda that would put us deep in debt for multiple generations, deeper in debt for multiple generations, they're not going back.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's the whole thing. I lost my train of thought, sorry. It's been one of those days. I swear I had an idea. It was even salient to what you were talking about, and it was like train of thought, derail, track one. So at least there was one form of off the rails tonight. It was my train of thought.
Right.
Anyway.
Where did I lose you?
No, it wasn't that you lost me. It was that I actually was trying to dovetail into what you were talking about, and as soon as I opened my mouth, the thought went, we're done. I don't know. Anyway, the whole thing is just, all of this just smacks of just complete gross incompetence. Because one of the things that, I didn't hear him say it, but I saw him tweet it, about how much less divided the country is now. Motherfucker, are you paying attention? The only thing that the American public agrees on is how much you suck.
Well, he is a uniter in that way.
I mean, so I guess he does have 33%. He does at one point, like 77% of the country, 67% of the country thinks he sucks ass.
Yeah, I mean, and he's upside down by like 52% too. So that's like, I mean, you know, it's not just a matter of like, oh, you know, he's got a 33% approval rating and 50%. Don't care one way or the other. No, he has a 57% disapproval rating. He is upside down. I don't even think Trump had that. I think Trump was in the 40s disapproval.
Yeah, I don't think he ever got anywhere near that low. But, I mean, at this point, I'm ready for Trump to go the fuck away, too, to be honest. Dude is still, like, making the press circuit talking about how the election was rigged and this, that, and the other. I don't care anymore. You've been out of office for over a year. And the simple fact of the matter is, if you try to run in 2024, if you win, you're not getting shit done because you're going to be a lame duck from the second you get in there. Ain't nobody going to fucking listen to you. They don't care.
And he ain't getting shit done now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I'm just, Stacey and I have talked about this on the morning show, and I'm really starting to espouse this policy. We have a floor as to what age you can be at before you can run. There needs to be a ceiling as to when the fuck you have to get out. I am done voting for anybody over the age of 65. I don't care. Let it all burn, because we've got to get some younger people in there. I mean, shit, we have octogenarians occupying like 60% of D.C. right now. To hell.
Right.
I mean, go home. Do you not have one? Do you hate your family so much that you want to stay in the bubble all the time? Is that what this is? I mean, do you just not have a life outside of the D.C. bubble? Go home. Shit.
Go to your home.
I mean, by the time...
Are you too good for your home?
I mean, yay. You're quoting some Adam Sandler there. Anyway. Happy Gilmore. See, I'm all random today.
Yes.
I don't even know.
You are random.
Hey, I resemble that remark, sir. Anyway, I'm going to try to work on getting a little more centered while I try to figure out if there's anything fun in the news to talk about other than the cauliflower in chief. Because,
President Silverwort. What are you watching on TV?
Well, honestly, I haven't really been...
What are you watching in period?
I mean, honestly, not much has changed as far as what I've been watching, because I haven't really started anything new. I'm still finishing up the end of Vampire Diaries. I'm in, like, season 7 now. I started watching all those. And I almost started rewatching Legacies now that I figured I would understand more of the story, but that one's so fresh in my mind, I actually still remember most of how it started. And I'm like, I don't really think I need to go back there yet. Other than that, there was, and this is interesting, so on, you know, I didn't realize this, but even Tubi, the little streaming service that ain't much, has started to put out their own original content. They have a War of the Worlds movie called War of the Worlds Annihilation. If you haven't seen it yet, it does have Alec Baldwin in it, so maybe you can stomach it. I almost turned it off because of it, but he's not in there very often, so I was able to get through
it. You mean Adam?
Yeah. Did I say Adam? Alec?
You mean the good one, right?
No, the one that accidentally shot somebody.
Oh, the one that's killed more people than... Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's Alec.
I was going to say, I thought I got it right, damn it.
Some things in here don't react well to bullets.
And I should have made sure this one wasn't loaded. Oh, anyway, sorry. Probably too soon for that joke. But yeah, so anyway, he's in it. But if you haven't seen it yet, honestly, it's a nice little, you know, jaunt. And it has an interesting little twist at the end that I'm not going to give away. Because I honestly started wondering, and then I realized I was right at the end. But yeah, so anyway, he doesn't die in the end, though, so that kind of made me a little sad. I was hoping he was going to, like, you know, like, yeah, anyway.
Spoilers.
Well, you know, that's not much of a spoiler. He never dies in anything. He's too much of a narcissist to die in a movie.
That.
You can't kill me. I'm Alec Baldwin. Anyway, now you got me doing it. Damn it. I hate you.
Ron, yes, on the Roku stick. If you had asked me a couple of years ago, I would have said no. But Roku is really coming on strong. If you listen to Culture Shift, and Brad and I are always talking about, what the fuck? Where'd Roku come from? Out of the blue, nowhere. And yeah, so I would try to find one that doesn't have an Apple Plus button, because nobody watches Apple Plus. But if you can't, yeah, get the Roku stick. I do like Fire Stick better, but Roku has some additional toys that are totally worth it.
Yeah, I'm still more of a Fire Stick guy. I haven't really checked out the Roku stick yet. That's actually going to be some of my next purchases as we start getting rid of the dish boxes. Is we're going to, I mean, and I don't know, I may actually wind up trying like a Roku stick or something in my bedroom just to test it out, because now you have me curious. But yeah, so that's been a fun little jump.
And actually, I can do that now, because the spot that I had a Fire Stick in, I got a sound bar that has Fire TV built into it, or Amazon TV built into it. So now I have the free space on my the free HDMI port to try a Roku stick.
Nice. So anyway, so your other co-host made an interesting point about an hour ago. She said, "Guys, we should give Biden some credit. He stood up there for an hour and a half and didn't wet himself, not even once." Do we know for sure? Maybe he had
Depends. He seized up, though.
He might have had Depends on, so we don't really know.
he went into full vapor lock a good solid minute.
He does that anyway. I mean, he's literally the dude from Anchorman that would, like, read anything off the teleprompter, and I've seen him do it, because at the end of the speech, he says, "This is the end of the speech." What?
Right.
What? Hello?
Next page.
Biden ad-libs. Yeah, please don't ever put that on the teleprompter.
Yeah, please clap.
Come on, man. Anyway.
I'll reboot him. Yeah, somebody hit the reset button on the president, please.
The cauliflower in chief needs to be unplugged and plugged back in, please.
Hang on. Ron, you need to add apps to it. You need to add those apps, otherwise it just comes native Prime Solo. So if you go into applications, or if you do it on your Amazon account too, you can add apps like HBO Plus, Netflix, Hulu, you know, whatever. Because it won't always put them up in your face.
Nope. It, you know, because it's technology.
Yeah.
So what have you been watching?
I have been watching, I'm starting The Witcher. I know I said that last time, but I'm actually legitimately doing it. I'm really hesitant to watch The Last Expanse because reasons. I'm just going to have to put aside everything I've heard and just watch it and give my own.
I'm not going to give anything away because you haven't watched it.
Okay, Ron, if you have that, okay, hang on, Ron, if you do that, you need to restart the Fire Stick. Go into settings, restart. And then this is, "Hi, welcome to Amazon Prime Help. This is Ordy. How can I help you?" Yeah, no, go in and reset your Fire Stick. I know sometimes just power cycling, it won't do it. You'll find it in the settings. Anyway, so yeah, I'm starting to start watching Witching the Watcher. And like I said, The Last Expanse I'm hesitant to do, but I'm just going to have to go ahead and watch it and do it. And the new job has had me quite tired, so I've watched the, there's a show on Hulu that I'm drawing a blank on right now. was on Hulu? No, it's on Netflix. It's kind of like Hellstrom that was on Hulu. I've watched the first episode about 5 times because I keep sacking out. Not for lack of interest, but it's got Cameron from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and it came out around Halloween. It's kind of a horror thing, and I want to say the yeah, the Oktoberfaction or something like that. I don't know. I could be completely wrong, but
oh yeah, well if it's Oktoberfaction, that was actually that came out last year.
Yeah, it came out last October.
No, I mean like October 2020, not 21.
I don't know. You're gonna make me fire up my Fire Stick to find it. Anyway.
please don't talk about firing up your Fire Stick when I'm in here with you. Just saying.
Right.
Save that for yeah. Save that for behind the Circle K, bro. Just saying.
Right. That poor dude. if you're not on Twitter, and congratulations. I've expanded the Circle K mom joke today, and I'm pretty loopy, so it sounded pretty bland in my head, but sweet. I can, you know, he's talking about me wearing a red MAGA hat. I said, sweet, I can wear it when I'm behind the Circle K with your mom, giving her a child that won't be a disappointment to her.
And just for the record, he said that sounded bland in his head, so can you imagine the shit that's in there? Because, yeah, trust me, dude, that was like scorched earth. And I mean,
I don't always let my subtext become text.
That might have been your magnum opus of Circle K mom jokes. I'm just saying. Oh my god. Anyway.
Don't die on me, man.
I mean, if I die on the air, it'd help the ratings. Maybe. Probably
yeah,
not.
Yeah, Ron, I have been wanting to watch The Librarians. I have heard it's decent, and it is definitely in my it's to watch list.
You haven't watched The Librarians yet? Like none of it?
None of it. Not a single one.
I'm not sure.
Not a bit.
I'm not sure we can be friends anymore. Anyway, just playing.
I've got a very deep queue. Broad queue, deep whatever. Anyway.
Oh, good lord, they're putting some random shit in chat.
Oh, the St. George testing the dragon for COVID?
Yep. Oh, that's man.
Thanks, Jeff.
I misspoke on it because, like I said, I'm still kind of meh. I will say we did watch The Eternals this weekend, but thank God for HBO Max, because if I'd have bought tickets for that, I'd have been pissed. I mean, it was
The Eternals.
Yeah. The Marvel movie, The Eternals? It's on
HBO Max. So Disney Plus, okay.
No, it's on HBO. Was it? Yeah, I thought it was HBO Max. I could be wrong. I don't fucking know. It's one or the other, dude. I have so many streaming services now, I can't fucking keep up. And the only one I used to have is Netflix, and I have, like, all of them. I'm like, oh, this one, I can get a free trial for this one. Let's try this for about a month and see if I like it. Anyway, because there's nobody to help me anymore when I spend a little bit of money here and there. Because, you know,
yeah.
Reasons. But yeah, so anyway, so we did watch that. I'm not that familiar with the comic books, which probably made it easier for me to follow along, because everybody that I know that was really into the comics was like, that movie sucked! And I'm like, yeah, it wasn't great. I guess, you know, and this isn't much of a spoiler, but the biggest weird, like, plot hole for me, because, you know, the whole thing is, they're saving the planet. I think the weirdest plot hole for me is the fact that this is taking place in the Marvel Universe, and not a single other superhero comes to help. Like, what, did they all take a coffee break at the same fucking time? I mean, what the hell? And
Even S.H.I.E.L.D. was there to be like, hey, we're here to clean up.
Yeah, I mean, nothing. I'm just like, what the... And the thing about it is, they actually reference the population coming back after the end of the other movie. So it's in the same universe. So where... I mean, did they all take a coffee break at the same fucking time while the world was supposed to be in then? I mean, nobody came... Nobody? Seriously?
Yeah, even the ones who survived the snapping? Yeah.
I was like, I don't get it. That was probably the biggest plot hole for me. I was watching the whole time. I was like, okay, so there needs to be at least one or two cameos. So at least, you know, since you're basically blatantly tying the universes together at the beginning of the movie, there can't be, like, nobody else came for the end of the world. I mean, it's like the Eternals threw an end of the world party and only they showed up. What the fuck? I was so, that was probably the biggest plot hole for me. And my son, who's an even bigger sci-fi, you know, Marvel movie nerd than I am, fell asleep twice. So if that tells you anything. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah, and okay, so the part of the reasoning behind that is because if anybody had come to help, it would have been the white savior thing, you know? Because all of Marvel Phase 1 through 4 were pretty much, you know, evil white men. And so, yeah.
You know, you got a point there, because, you know, that was part of the whole
Because this is the MCU, as Gary from Neurotic is calling it. And, yeah, that's that would be verboten. That is not allowed in the current Marvel phase.
So, not to go too culture shifty, but I thought this was kind of interesting, because Paramount Plus put out their renewals. The new Trek spinoff, the Pike Era, they haven't even aired the first episode yet, and they've already renewed it for season 2.
Well, that's optimistic.
I was like, oh, wait, yeah. What? You haven't...
Okay, let me tell you why I'm afraid of the Pike. One, I think they're going to ruin a good character the way they did with Picard, and Ansel Mount is a great actor who was fantastic in fucking Hell on Wheels. And, yeah, no, they're going to ruin that because, well, he's a white man.
I don't
and,
know.
You know, being culture shifty. And because Kurtzman is running, is the showrunner right now, and Kurtzman doesn't know dick about Trek.
I mean, I don't really know, though, because honestly, because, you know, Discovery being the train wreck that it is, season 2 was its best season, and that was actually where they got the idea.
2 seasons ago?
Yeah, that's where they got the idea for Strange New Worlds, which is the Pike era. The only thing that has a lot of the fans pissed off about that one is they're bringing Bones in as the Doctor, and they're like, that wasn't the Pike era Doctor. And I'm like, that's never really been explained whether he was or wasn't, because there was only one episode with Pike, guys. That's like getting pissed off about Discovery era having Shuttlecraft when they didn't even bring Shuttlecraft in until like episode 17 of the first season on Star Trek, the original series. You don't know, because there was one pilot that failed and then they relaunched, so you don't really know when Bones actually came into the picture.
Sure, so, that's a fair argument.
I mean, so just little things like that are what piss me off, because it's like, well, why didn't they use the original Doctor? Probably because they're trying to bring in some people that may not even know about the fucking original pilot that failed miserably. I don't know.
Yes.
It's just, you know, and I get it, because, you know, you have, like, the purists that are like, no, this is this, and that's when I'm like, but, you know, then that would be, like, you being pissed off because Discovery has Shuttlecraft.
You know what? Let's go to memory of... No, they're not pissed off because Discovery has Shuttlecraft. It's because Discovery launches Shuttlecraft like Pez. There's no way that many Shuttlecraft could have fit in the ship. Anyway.
Well, I mean, most of the things that they're launching out of Discovery actually are not the Shuttlecraft. They have the worker bees like they had in the original Star Trek The Motion Picture. The little small ones that were like single-person craft. That's the things that are
being launched. I mean, okay, that's right.
But yeah, anyway, I mean, you know, Discovery still has shit that ain't never been seen before, but most of that has to do with the fact that now that they're like 900 and some odd fucking years in the future, so now there's like little worker bee drones that are like AI and everything, and I'm like, yeah, no, thanks, nope. I don't know, I'm still really trying with Discovery because it's Trek, and because I try to support all things Trek, but there's not a single fucking character in that show that I can relate to, because they're all either estrogen or wish they had a vagina. That's it.
Fair.
I'm like, there's nobody that I can go, ooh, I can relate with that character. There's not a single one. I mean, the closest thing is the Kelpian dude, and he's basically gay.
I have no idea what you speak.
Anyway, people that have watched Discovery will know. It's not my
fault. Okay.
Not my
fault. All four of them?
Four and a half, if you count me. Just saying. Anyway.
So according to Memory Alpha, McCoy, who was born in Atlanta, Georgia, attended University of Mississippi, Old Miss. They actually reference that in Trials and Tribulations. Anyway, he's a divorcee. And he was transferred to his post as chief medical officer of the Enterprise under James T. Kirk. So technically correct, he was not on the Enterprise. It doesn't say that he wasn't on it before, but he was posted to the Enterprise under Kirk. So could have, but probably not.
Well, I mean, and also, just to make sure we're on the same page, they haven't necessarily said that he's going to be the chief medical officer, though, yet, either. They just said he's going to be part of the show, so you never know. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, he could just be, like, you know, a male nurse chapel.
He could be the nurse chapel of the show, you never know. Anyway, I don't know, probably not. I mean, honestly, after, you know, DeForest Kelly and then Carl Urban, I don't really want to see anybody else trying to pull off a Bones, because those are I mean, Carl Urban did a damn good Bones, because I was actually really worried about that, and he pulled it off pretty well.
You know what? You know what'll work well? I mean, they can't even really use DeForest Kelly's voice, because what they did in The Mandalorian, where they de-aged Mark Hamill.
Yep.
You know, for the last scene. So, I mean, that would have worked. They could have probably done. They could probably do it with Carl Urban. Yeah. Is he doing anything other than
I don't know, everything else he's been in is kind of tanked other than The Boys. I mean, he's had a couple other small projects after the whole Star Trek thing that what was it? There was one there, it was, he was a cop,
and that would actually put Brave New World in the Kelvin universe, so that would kind of make sense anyway.
Maybe. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm curious to see it, because I'm hesitant, but at the same time, I'm hoping maybe it will. There, I mean, as long as they don't try to turn Pike homosexual, there would be at least hopefully one character I can somewhat relate to on that show, other than Discovery. And I don't know, Discovery. The other thing with Discovery is each season is like weird, because they just kind of do their own thing. Like, they're not always the episode numbers aren't always the same. Sometimes they take a mid-season finale, sometimes they don't. Like, they've done another mid-season finale again this year, which is usually, interestingly enough, when they have, like, big plot twists they're trying to build suspense for or some bullshit, is usually when they do those. The other thing, you know, and just because we brought this up, I don't know if anybody else has bothered to watch it. I have actually only watched one episode of it, and it's only because Frakes was on it. But I have actually watched an episode of Will Wheaton's The Ready Room. That dude's weird. I mean, even more weird than I thought, because I don't know. And honestly, the weirdest thing for me about watching Frakes not play Will Riker is, you know, after seeing somebody play a character for so long, that's how you're used to seeing them. And him, like, being this soft-spoken, nerdy actor dude, I was like, what the fuck is this? What the fuck is this? And they're all like... Or, like, every 5 minutes, oh, I love you so much, man. I'm like, y'all need to get a room. Anyway, sorry. I'm rambling.
Hey, and Ron, Majel Barrett, she was actually the first officer in the pilot. She wasn't a doctor. She was an unnamed first officer. So she basically had Spock's job.
She was number one. That's what
she was number one.
That's what she was referenced as, and that's where Picard actually got the reference for number one from. And
she also played every Federation computer voice up to Enterprise, I believe. In Deep Space Nine, Deep Space Nine itself had a different computer voice, more Cardassian. But on, like, the Rio Grande and the Defiant and everything, then it was Majel's voice.
Yeah, well, the thing that was interesting is, honestly, I thought that was from, like, the very beginning. In season one, she actually was not the computer voice yet.
TNG?
Yeah, in TNG, right. She wasn't the computer voice yet, because it was really confusing to me at first, because she had been the voice for, like, everything that I remember hearing, and I'm going back and watching some of the first episodes, and I'm like, who the fuck is that doing the computer voice? Because that's not Majel Barrett.
Right. So you are correct.
Yeah, but I mean, she'd been in pretty much every iteration of Trek for, like, the longest. She was a recurring character.
Even in the I would have to double check, but I think she actually did I know she did voices for the animated series, but I don't think she was actually the computer voice in it.
No, I don't think she was, not for the animated series.
Because it did, because the animated series did, I don't believe, had a computer voice. I'd have to double check that. I think that was Spock's job, was to translate the computer.
Actually, I think if I mean, I could be misremembering. I'll actually have to go back and, because I mean, I can pull it up. But if I remember, and I remember thinking it was weird, because I always remembered the animated series having like a male computer voice, which I thought was random because it never was male before. And I could be misremembering, so I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. All I know is, as long as they're not trying to make Florida have a Grand Canyon, I'm going to be okay. I think.
Right. Yeah, okay, and that still pisses me off about Enterprise. Enterprise was, I mean, aside from having a theme song, like, with words, it wasn't bad. It got a lot more shit than it deserved. And the Zendi storyline was actually really interesting. The problem was when they burned Grand Canyon into Florida and most of the Caribbean, because that is never referenced again. That broke canon. And you can't do that. I mean, they even kind of broke canon a little bit when they had the original look at, well, no, because...
Well, I mean, honestly, that show broke canon all over the place, because the first time... Yeah. Because the first time that the pre-Federation met Romulans, they were supposed to... There was no visual communication. It was subspace radio. That's why in the original series they had no idea that the Romulans and Vulcans looked exactly alike, because they'd only ever seen them, you know, they'd seen their ships from sensor blips, but they had never actually seen any faces or anything, because the only communication they ever had was subspace radio. And that was honestly one of the first things that annoyed me about the series, was how much they tried to bring in the newer technology, but make it seem like it was older. And I'm like, no, this isn't right. Not for this era. Not for ships that are going this slow. They're not even supposed to have visual communication capability yet. And that was one of the first things that annoyed me about it. And then I still gave it a shot because I really, really like Scott Bakula. I've been a fan of his ever since Quantum Leap. And I really do like most of the stuff that he's in when they do it right. But and I became a fan of the dude that plays Trip, because he went on and did a recurring role in one of the Stargate franchises.
Sure, that's right. That's right. He played Michael.
Yeah, so I mean, I liked it, and I don't know. For me, Enterprise and Discovery have a lot in common, because I hung in because they were Trek, but they eventually wound up disappointing the hell out of me. Primarily, and the other thing that really pissed me off is Enterprise finally started pulling it out. The storylines finally started making sense. They were tying everything together, and that's when they decided to pull the plug. And then they only half did a fucking finale, because they're like, oh yeah, it's going to be Enterprise finale, but we're going to have you watching it from the Next Generation crew's perspective. Fuck all that. What the hell is that even about?
It was the biggest disappointment since my son.
No, biggest disappointment.
Right.
Biggest disappointment since that mom's son that you were banging by in Circle K.
Lake Armstrong, named after Louis Armstrong. Okay, so, yeah, the moon's Lake Armstrong. That's right. Okay, so, sidebar, you mentioned Quantum Leap. Did you hear that it is been greenlit to have a sequel?
Yes, I have heard that, and I've been trying to read a little bit about it, but honestly, they're not really explaining very much of what it's going to be. And I'm really concerned, because it's probably going to be more woke BS, and then I'm probably going to be pissed.
Yeah, probably. But, I mean, because everything's a disappointment. No, but it's been greenlit. Bakula was teasing it, has been teasing it on and off for a while. And so there's thoughts, hopes, whatevers, that a new team goes looking for Sam.
Yeah, honestly, some of the fanfic ideas for it, or, you know, this is, you know, again, this would be about 30-some-odd years later. So maybe it would be, like, his daughter or one of his grandkids going to try to find him that, like, kept his work going or whatever. I mean, the biggest thing for me is, you know, and this is why I'm a little worried, the back and forth between Sam and Al is what made that show. I don't think they're going
to be... Yes, and with losing Dean Stockwell, yeah, that's going to be hard-pressed to catch that lightning in the bottle.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not even the fact that he's gone. It's the fact that, like you just said, it's lightning in a bottle. You only get chemistry like that once in a lifetime. between actors and actresses, and I don't know if they're going to be able to duplicate it again. I mean, Dean Stockwell, you know, for somebody that actually wasn't, like, you know, a big superstar, he did a lot of work, and he had a lot of depth, because he didn't always just play the same characters.
Yeah, I mean, even before Quantum Leap, I was introduced to him in Dune, but I recognized him everywhere after that.
You know, it's funny how you'll have that one show where somebody finally sticks in your head, and you're like, oh, that was him? Oh, that's him?
Yeah.
That's him. Yeah, that still happens to me to this day. Like, I'll go back and, like, you know, after having an actor or an actress stick in my head, I'll go back and watch old shit and be like, I forgot they were in that, but it's probably because I didn't know who they were yet. Anyway. Yeah. But... So,
I mean, you know, you're talking about the interaction between Al and Sam in that one. Yes, that's correct. That's actually a lot of my trepidation about the Bab 5 reboot. Because without Garibaldi and Londo and Gakkar, okay, Claudia Christian's character was fun, but Garibaldi, Londo, and Gakkar made that show. Absolutely made the show. I mean, you can make arguments for... Stephen First and, with Veer and Bill Mummy's character also. I also watched the Deep Space Nine the other night that Bill Mummy was in, the assault on AB-558 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
He did fantastic in that one, too.
Yeah, it was funny. I found that documentary you were talking about Star Trek Deep Space Nine and watched it the other day. And he actually was talking about that episode in there because the showrunner came in and was like, yeah, and I came in purposefully because I wanted to watch Will from Lost in Space die.
Right.
I was like, holy crap, dude, that's just terrible. Then they all laughed about it. But yeah, the funny thing is because I had forgotten about you mentioning that there was this whole subplot between Bashir and Garrick. And then it was actually the showrunner that mentioned it because they were talking about how, you know, they didn't really do enough for the LGBT community back then because they were too afraid to. And he's like, we had this whole idea where Garrick was actually going to be gay and try to pursue Dr. Bashir. And I'm like, wait a minute, I thought that was a fan thing. I didn't realize that was a showrunner that was saying they wanted to do that. That's just, ugh.
No, and actually, you know, they'll go out and they'll do fanfic, you know, kind of like how they parody in Galaxy Quest, with Tim Allen's character, you know, going to what he thought going to just a fan set to do a quick read.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, they'll go and do that and they'll play Bashir and Garrick gay.
Dude.
Or at least, you know, gay interested.
I don't know. The weirdest thing for me with Bashir is, you know, watching him as the doe-eyed, you know, freshly basically out of the academy, he got to take whatever post he wanted, you know, bragging about how this is the frontier of medicine. And then pretty much everything he's been in since then, he's been an asshole.
Right.
I'm like, I can't. I mean, I can still do it, but it's like, it's hard to reconcile. It was at first, and now I've gotten so used to him playing the bad guy that I'm like, you know, he's just another one of those ones that actually manages to have depth, so I shouldn't be hating on him for it, because he actually plays the bad guy pretty well. There are people that can't do it. I've seen plenty of people that have gone from being, you know, to use wrestling parlance, gone from being the face to the heel, and they can't pull it off. He can. He's pretty good at it, too.
Do you know he's Malcolm McDowell's nephew?
I did. I remember reading that somewhere, but I don't remember where I read it.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And Malcolm McDowell's one of those who had actually has a really bad experience with Trek because he was the guy who killed Kirk. And so it's kind of like, I mean, he gets a lot of hate mail for that. And he's all, I wish I never did it. I mean, he did it for a paycheck and he knows, yeah, but still he's like, you know.
Dude, Generations was trash.
Some things just aren't worth it.
Generations was trash to begin with. That movie needs to be redone and removed from... That needs to be retconned so badly. It's just... It was terrible.
No, and you're right. GR, you're right. Most people can play good characters very well because people are inherently good. It takes... I mean, you either have to be an asshole like Alec Baldwin or you have to be a fantastic actor in order to play the asshole. I mean, it's... It's really bizarre, especially you can tell a really good actor is when they have a character arc where they go from the good guy to the asshole, back to the good guy, or vice versa, bad guy, good guy. I mean, again, to use the Garrick reference, I mean, he's universally an asshole until the last 12 episodes of... I mean, he is the bad guy. You know, he's the spook. He's the... You don't know what his methods are until the last 12 episodes of Deep Space Nine, and then you're like, okay, so Andrew Robinson... Also, I know I talk about this a lot, but I just completely fucking brain farted on his name. He plays Brunt. He plays Wei Yun, and he also played the Andorian in Enterprise. He's a fantastic actor because he also goes from good guy to bad guy really quickly and easily.
Yeah, no. So, damn it, there was something else I was going to say about that. Now I forgot. Anyway, oh well. If I remember, I'll come back to it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen that documentary, but if you haven't, I recommend watching it, especially if you were a fan of Deep Space Nine, because they actually start pitching an idea for what they called the 8th season, and it was basically they did the storyboard for the pilot, and it was actually pretty cool just watching how their mind worked. And honestly, I mean, they flat out tell you that, you know, back in the day, they would basically rattle out an episode on storyboard in like a day, 2 days. And I'm like, how in the hell? I mean, that just proves how long you've been doing it when you can get from like beginning to end, at least for the meat of a story, beginning to end in like 1 8-hour shift. I'm like, I wish I could do that. You know how much work I could pump out if I could do shit like that quick?
Right.
But yeah, it was just interesting to watch. And, you know, and this is...
I believe the documentary's name is What We Left Behind.
Yeah, it's What We Left Behind. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, this is back when Renee was still alive, and I mean, everybody was there. And it was just, even then, you know, they were talking about how they just remained this close-knit family. And that's kind of been the amazing thing for pretty much every group other than... TOS, not counting Kirk, because he was a douche, still is, in case you're wondering. You know, they've stayed this close-knit family. I mean, and that was one of the things I think was the most interesting with listening to Frakes when he was doing the Ready Room with Wheaton, is the new crew is like that. They'll actually, you know, even if they're not scheduled that day, if there's a guest star that they've been working with a lot... that they realize isn't going to be on the show anymore or whatever, they'll actually come in and actually watch them work and bid them off the set, and they'll go do things together. Like, they have D&D groups, and they do all these things. And that was what they were talking about with DS9 with Armin Shimmerman, is he used to do, like, Saturday group reads at his house. And the showrunner was like, those are things that you can't teach people, but it's what makes this stuff work, is when you have somebody like you who's, you know, been in it for a while and is taking the newer people under their wing and, you know, giving them places where they can be comfortable and learn how to read the characters and how to play the characters. And, I mean, that's just been the interesting thing for me, is the behind-the-scenes stuff. With all the extra work they actually do put in, that they never actually get paid for, just because they love it as much as we do.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, sidebar to that one, you know, talking about, you know, crew getting together with hobbies and things like that. I recently watched an interview with Henry Cavill talking about The Witcher Season 2, and he's big into Warhammer. And to, like, you know, to get the rest of the cast and every, you know, to get find their zen and whatever, he's turned a lot of them into painting Warhammer miniatures. Yeah, so it's like, what army are you working on right now, kind of thing. Yeah, so I saw an interview with that, and they had two other cast members from The Witcher on, and he was talking about it like, oh, that would be great. That's the little painted miniatures you have, right? Oh, I would love to get into that. So apparently he's got a significant portion of the cast painting Warhammer miniatures now.
Oh, I mean, it's little...
Nerds.
Well, I mean, they're actors. That was the one thing that kind of stood out with me with Frakes not being in front of a camera. Dude's probably one of the biggest nerds I've ever seen. Like, just his mannerisms and everything are just different. I'm like, you know, these guys do such a really good job of pretending to be alpha males in front of a camera, and then the second they're off camera, they're like, hey guys, what are we doing, guys? Where are we going, guys? I'm like, what the fuck? I don't know. Again, you know, that's why they're an actor and I'm not. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, the weirdest thing for me with the whole Ready Room thing, and again, I really only watched the one episode because I got mad because I realized that Discovery hadn't dropped in like 2 weeks. So I was like, eh, you know what? I'll watch this because I saw that Frakes was on there. And I will say this. One of the things that I like about Discovery is the way they're doing the sets. They actually, and they were talking about this, they actually have an area called an AR room, which is basically augmented reality. And they were talking about how different it is now versus when they were doing shows. Cause Wheaton was like, yeah, they can actually see the people they're supposed to be interacting with. You and I used to have to stare at an X on a green screen and they would film the rest later. I don't know. The way the technology's come along has been kind of amazing. The one thing that I really, just one little sidebar before I let this go. Even Frakes was mentioning the J.J. Abrams lens flares and how cool they are. And I'm like, no, that shit needs to die in a fire. Stop with the fucking lens flares. They're not cool. I don't know why.
You know, I said this when I heard that he was going to be directing the Star Wars movies. And that, the first one was going to be on Tatooine. I didn't believe my retinas could handle it. Sun flare from two suns. Oof. Oof.
At least he didn't go too crazy on those. But yeah, anyway.
And Ron dropped Dean Stockwell's filmography from IMDb into chat. The dude was in like TV shows and movies going back to 1945. His last acting gig was in 2015.
I know. He's been doing it for forever.
So 70 years just in acting.
Can you imagine that? I couldn't imagine doing the same thing for 70 years.
Yeah, I can't imagine doing things I like for 70 years, much less, work. But still, I mean, the dude was a consummate professional. And, fascinating. Fascinating man.
I mean, I take that back, but the only thing I could think of that if I was getting paid to do what I could do for 70 years would be radio, but let's face it, I'm too old to do it for 70 years now, even if I wanted to. Damn it. Anyway. But yeah, I mean, dude's been in, TV, film, 1944, 1945, I mean, that's a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, I remember thinking, when he showed up as one of the Cylons in the BSG reboot, I was like,
Brother Cavill.
How old is this dude now? He's still going?
All right.
Speaking of which, they're rebooting that shit again?
I hadn't heard that.
I don't even know why.
I'm going to have to look into that for culture shift.
I don't even know why. Like, they've got two different projects running independently of each other that they're still going to wind up trying to tie together. One of them is a series reboot, and the other one is a movie reboot. And they're, I don't remember who was it. Somebody's involved in tertiary form in both of the projects, which is why they're gonna wind up being in the same universe. But I'm just like, I get that was a while ago, but can we not do like new ideas? Like I just saw even on Hulu, and I started trying to watch it a little bit tonight just to see. They've redone How I Met Your Mother and changed the entire fucking thing. Now it's How I Met Your Father, and I've watched one episode, and I'm like, yeah, nope.
Just gonna nope out of this one.
It's not even anywhere near the same. I don't understand why we can't get fresh ideas anymore. I mean, it goes back to what we were talking about on Juxtaposition a week ago. Is like artificial intelligence writing everything now? Is that why we keep spitting out the same ideas over and over and over again? I mean, is that really a thing?
Yes.
Because it's just the same shit over and over and over. It's like cookie cutter. I'm over it to a point. I mean, even like the strange new worlds. I'm like, I get it, and it's Pike's universe is finally going to get at least explored a little bit. But at the same time, I'm like, we're just rehashing same old shit again. And I'm just like, I don't know. I'm kind of over it. Maybe I'm just getting old and cranky. Get off my lawn!
Yes.
Get off my lawn!
And gray ribbons.
I put that on Facebook the other day. Half my Facebook friends like exploded because I was like current relationship status, and then after that in caps lock, get off my lawn with a bunch of exclamation points. And everybody was like, oh my god! It's like, well, it's kind of how I feel.
That's true. So your voice held up. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, it held up, and we didn't even take a break.
Oh shit! Jeff just dropped a picture and. In chat of the classic Ben Kenobi Darth Vader lightsaber duel, but like if it was done by J.J. Abrams, because there's lens flare everywhere, you can't even make out Vader.
Huh, I'm not seeing that yet. Oh wait, there it is. Nope, there's the filmography. Yeah, the last thing I show in the chat from like 4 minutes ago, so my internet must be fucking up or something.
No, that's it. Anyway.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't even see that one. New timeline, who dis?
Right.
Oh, man. Oh, anyway. All right, well.
Okay. Your voice held up.
Yep, barely, but it did.
Are you going to try and do a show tomorrow or what?
Yeah, I plan on being back to do the morning show again in the morning. I think it'll hold up well enough now that I managed to get all my shit refilled. Part of the reason why I couldn't do anything this morning is because I could barely breathe. But I can breathe again now, so.
You say that now.
You were looking forward to my Harvey Weinstein. Fuck you, Al. Fuck you. That's funny, though. That's funny, though, I gotta say. So the funny thing is, you remember, before we go, you remember all those projects they sidelined, you know, like, that when they were talking about doing them as movies? They were going to do, like, the Boba Fett movie, now it's a series. They were going to do an Obi-Wan movie, now they're actually bringing that back as a series. And the funny thing is, in the series, apparently there's going to be more Obi-Wan, Darth Vader saber battles, so you might get some saber lens flare, you never know.
Yeah. No, but I mean, it's okay, if it's going to be a TV series, it's going to be under Filoni, not Kennedy. And we talked about that briefly on Culture Shift last week. She has basically been removed from all Star Wars products. So there's hope.
So, well, the only thing, and I saw the picture that everybody was passing around a couple of weeks ago, and I did finally get to watch the episode with those weird-ass fucking speeders in there. I blame the MMO universe because those things look an awful lot like some of the personalized speeders you could get from the game. Like, yeah, I blame that. I was like, but yeah, that whole fucking like rainbow. I don't know whose bright idea that was, but yeah, that don't do that again. Don't do that again.
Hey, we're trying to appeal to boomers. We're gonna bring in the mod squad on Vespas.
Something. I don't know what the hell that was. But yeah, the first thing I thought of was your personal transport vehicles you get at like level 20 or whatever the fuck it was. But then, I mean, what was up with like the 50s retro look to them? That was just weird.
I don't see. That's just it. I don't know.
I mean, it's the first time that I've seen anything in Star Trek or Star Wars was like, what the fuck? Oh, and I figured it out. Remember how we were, you know, joking around the other day about how, you know, Baker's scarf has to have yellow in it? I figured out what it is. The scarf lost more of its yellow the longer he was running as the Doctor, because he was actually the longest running Doctor. He actually did 7 seasons.
So it did fade it out? So okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, it eventually, towards the end, went completely red and brown. But, you know, the funny thing is, because I looked it up after I realized that he was, because I didn't realize he'd been doing it for 7 years, which is probably why there were so many episodes that I hadn't seen, because I think in America we only got a handful. And so... when I realized there was stuff I hadn't seen, I looked it up, and apparently the whole reason he left, because he wasn't ready to leave yet. He got pissed off because that's when they started trying to work all the question marks and the other bullshit into the Doctor's daily wear, and he's like, no, that's fucking stupid, I'm not wearing that. He's like, I quit.
Right.
He's like, that's fucking stupid, I'm not doing that. And sure enough, the next Doctor, first thing you see is when he takes off the coat, you know, because he had Baker's coat on still. He took the scarf off and was using it to try to find his way back into the TARDIS, so he was using it as like a guide string. So then he takes the coat off, and all of a sudden, the fucking collar had question marks on it. I'm like, what the fuck is he supposed to be, the Riddler?
Right.
What the hell? But yeah, every Doctor since then, up until they did the reboots, had question marks somewhere in their daily wear.
Yeah, I remember that with Peter Davidson, too. That was, yeah.
Actually, he's a better Doctor than I gave him credit for, but still, the whole question mark thing was like, eh, I don't know about that. I don't know. To me,
yeah, my favorite role of his was when he was the meal of the day in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
This is true. I forgot about that. Alright, I probably do need to bail before my voice does quit, and then Stacey's like, God damn it, you talked too long last night, now you're not going to do my show again?
Plus, you got to save yourself for Friday's juxtaposition.
I know, right? Speaking of which, what the fuck are we doing?
We're having Mickey Blowtorch on, and we are talking the alien Nazi connection.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. We've been pushing that one back for so long.
You didn't? Because he got sick, and you did not see that coming.
All right, man. So where can folks find you?
That is what we're doing. You can't. I'm tired. No, you can find me on Twitter as That Amish One. You can find me on Minds, MeWe, and Gitter as Ordy Packard. And you can find me on Friday with Rick.
And you can find me pretty much anywhere. You're going to want to find me as @RadioX73, because the only other profile that I have that doesn't have that really attached to it is my personal Facebook page. And if you're not friends with me on there, you're not going to be. Because that's my personal Facebook page. But anyway, I'm on Getter. I do have a Minds account that I need to find the password for. And mostly Twitter, for the most part, for radio stuff. And watching my co-host own people. And, you know, talk about banging their moms by a Circle K. Anyway. All right, folks, we are going to get out of here. I will be back tomorrow morning with my co-host, Stacey Lennox, for the Daily Dose. We're going to get the Thursday and Friday.
I will not.
There. Yeah, well, hopefully you'll at least be in the chat for a minute. Maybe.
Yeah, I will definitely do that.
Maybe.
That I can do. Maybe.
Maybe. All right, maybe. Anyway. We got to go before my voice quits. We'll see you guys later. In the words of Bill S. Preston Esquire, Ted Theodore Logan, be excellent to each other. And in the words of Rick Robinson, if you can't be good, then be good at it. We'll be right back. And in the morning.
Vaya con huevos.
Why you gotta go with the eggs? What's gonna happen if you go with the eggs anyway?